The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And we're back here on Analyze This, and we got the table talk. It's a late week edition of the table talk, but we got some programming notes for tonight. I know they are doing some research as well, but I'm gonna call the program notes for tonight. We got a text message from Wallace Williams, so I gotta do my homework. You know who that is. Thursday, April 11th, we got the PBS News Hour at 7 p.m. right. Then we got Elton John and Bernie Taupin, right? Celebrate as Elton John and Bernie Taupin received the 2024 Library of Congress Gershwin Prize for Popular Song. And that goes from 8 to 9:30, okay? And then at 9:30, Joni Mitchell. Celebrate as Joni Mitchell receives the 2023 Library of Congress Gershwin Prize for Popular Song. And that's from 9:30 to 11. So both of those are 90 minutes each, hour and a half. And then, of course, I'm Important Company from 11 to 12 to wrap up our primetime coverage. Okay, so PBS News Hour at 7 to 8. Elton John and Bernie Taupin from 8 to 9:30. Joni Mitchell from 9:30 to 11. And then I'm Important Company. Let me do a quorum call here. Let me start with the handle. We do it alphabetically. Donald Duck's called the majority leader. He served 3 terms in the legislature. Let me see if my memory's sharp. The 23rd, the 24th, and the 30th legislature. Good morning, Mr. Majority Leader. Glad to have you on.
Good morning. President, please. And you need to include the other 20 years of institutional knowledge that I served.
I like that.
Some of the big dogs, them.
No, I like that. He did work as a
your uncle and
yeah. Work as a central staffer in the legislature prior to stepping up to wire the chair to sit down in a chair over there. So it's all good. Thank you very much for joining us and giving homage to the one George Goodwin. He said, "President, please." No, we guys seen John to the ranking member. Armando Rocky Leibert, numero uno en la papeleta. He served 8 terms, 7 consecutive, beginning, I believe, with the 19th. Right, Rocky? With 19th?
19th.
He started with the 19th. He went from the 19th to the 25th, right? He knocked out 7 of them in a row. And then he cooled out for 10 years. And when I was running back in 2015, and he get word that the Senate never run again, and he might be the Senate President, Rocky said, "Well, I go come in and give you some guidance." You know what I'm saying? So he was back there with me in the 31st legislature. So
I have no knowledge of that.
And I don't tell you why he had, okay? And he was all, he had, like I was over there, right? And he was also Senate President in the 21st and 24th legislatures. Good morning, Mr. Ranking Member from the Island of St. John, Love City.
Good morning to you, Mr. President, and President Russell, and the Majority Leader. And to the listening audience, I'm just another guy in the block, just trying to make a contribution. Mr. President, before you finish up your wrap-up,
yeah,
I want to bring a topic to you in your next setting.
Not a problem. Let me recognize the man, Doug School, born in Frederickstead, not St. Croix, born in Frederickstead, right?
Frederickstead.
The one only Senator Ronald Russell served 4 terms, was the Senate President in the 29th legislature, but prior to that, he served in the 25th, 26th, and 27th legislature, 8 years in total. Good morning, Mr. Ronald Russell, attorney from out of the West, now hanging out in Kenan Ridge. How are you?
I'm doing well, and good morning to you, Rocky, Ducks, and the wonderful listening audience, you know. You got a wide range of people, and that's a beautiful thing.
Well, you know how it is, man. You know it is. Big every time, Duck School, right? That's how we the rule, right? Big every time. And we go to that, and I'm glad to have you distinguished gentlemen joining me this morning. Gentlemen, you know, we got, 16 from Rocky, 12 from myself, that's 28, and then another 14 right? 8 and 6. So, bam, bam, bam. 42 years, right? Between the four of us. So, they want to label us generation, done, whoever it be. But we are generational institutional knowledge. And,
yes.
And they could run from it all they want. These are the facts, right? And the numbers are what they are, right? And what's going on in Congress right now is really an embarrassment. Doc Skoll, Rocky Lightbutt, and Ronnie Russell. Ronnie, I want to start with you. Where we have a Speaker of the House, right, who looks like he is more obligated to a former president and candidate than to the people who elected him from the district in Louisiana and to his fellow Congress members, where he claimed now he going down to Mar-a-Lago to have an election integrity conversation with the former president. The same former president who has a trial beginning on Monday, where he been filing motions on a daily basis and getting rejected from Monday, Tuesday, and up to yesterday, right? Ronnie, the question is, what is America's global standing right now from other countries looking at how America, you know, for the lack of a better term, but arguably the most appropriate term right now, looking like a poppy show as it relates to leadership, in particular in the legislative branch of government?
Absolutely, Neville. And when you have moral decay...
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
In your society, where you lose an appreciation for your moral responsibility, especially when you're elected, you lose a slip, I gonna say a slip, from the role of leadership, and people don't respect you, and people don't give you the accolades that's due, because America has been a really beacon of democracy for the world, and that has slipped, and the moral decay of the Congress has allowed America to act like what you said, a poppy show. Thank you.
Doc Skoll, another term we could use is a proper pistacle, is what going on up there. Where one thing you told me when I went to work for Vargas Richards and we were having our financial issues, and you said to me, Neville, I keep telling all these men, and I just reached. You are a freshman senator. This is 1989, way back when, 25 years ago. And I think it's wrong this month, so when we had the delayed payday. Remember that, there, Rocky? In April of 1999. And Doc Skoll, you said, these men really don't understand that the power of the Virgin Islands really rests in the legislature. If 10 senators decide we're taking over this government and determining direction, we could do that. That's how powerful the first branch is, Doc Skoll. And it seems to me that we have elected officials on the mainland who are willing to cede that power, whether it be because of cowardice or they don't understand just how the structure of government is set up. Why is that, Doc Skoll?
Well, a lot of those people who are elected, and we got to go back to the foundation when the Congress was put together. You had the House of Representatives and the Senate, which was basically fashioned after the House of Commons and the House of Lords in England, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the House of Commons was a representation of basically the entire nation, right? And in America, the Congress, the House is represented in districts from all over the world. I mean, from all over America. So each district has their own politics. They say, you remember you say every politics is local?
All politics is local. Tip O'Neill.
All politics is local. And when you elect individuals who have their own local politics and you bring them together, and some of them come with no knowledge of what the institution is, the only thing that they want to do is be seen and heard. And how do you do that, Neville? You cause distractions. Mm-hmm. And that is what's happening in the House of Representatives, really. Destruction. And because of the two-party system, the majority is separated along party lines. And what is happening is that problem where you have a Republican sect who wants to serve a former elected president of the United States.
And the presumptive candidate front runner for the Republican Party.
Somehow he has become the Speaker of the House.
De facto. You're absolutely correct.
De facto.
Yeah, man.
The de facto Speaker of the House.
Yeah, man, you're right.
Because when legislation comes before the House, they have to get a litmus test from the de facto Speaker of the House.
Wow.
Before they vote. Even though that the people and the majority of the people in America is saying we want it, they want power, Neville.
Mm-hmm. Charge shot.
Power.
Charge shot.
That's what it is.
Charge shot.
Yeah. Power. And that is what it is. And the power now comes to do what? Determine the policies, Neville, Rani and Rocky, that is going to govern the nation. And Neville, if we go back, you know, to the policies of what is this election going to be? What's at stake at this election? And we can analyze this, right? What's at stake? And that is what the voters of the United States of America need to understand. What's at stake? And I have a lot of variables that are at stake, but that's the question we have to ask them. What's at stake when you support people like Marjorie Taylor Greene? You support people like the former President Donald Trump. What's at stake? And those of us who are marginalized seem not to understand that people of color, the brung in America, are the ones the policies are made that's going to be more disenfranchised. Seem not to understand that. What is that, Neville? Civics. Okay?
Well, I'm glad you went there because that's a perfect segue for Rocky, because Rocky just asked that question there, right? Rocky, didn't you just ask that question when we were talking about how people
like
to believe how all of us come from Jamaica or Trinidad or something like that? And,
right,
and so it begs the question, is civics class and geography being taught or are the children not paying attention? And when we look at what we're going through with this separate but co-equal branch of government structure, the Republican form of government, with an executive, legislative, and judicial branch, and we have the leaders of the legislative branch ceding that power to somebody because of a potential election result, or because they're completely intimidated, we're in trouble as a country, man.
Well, Neville, the whole country is in big trouble. Because Doc asked about what's on the ballot. What's on the ballot is democracy.
Yes, sir.
That's what's on the ballot.
Yes, sir.
We are supposed to be a nation that really kind of leads the way. And the allies and the folks out there, the countries, are looking at America and say, but wait a minute. These people are supposed to be the leaders. And this is how they're operating. Something is wrong with that type of system. But beyond that, guys, what I see is that you talk about two-party system, but I think the whole concept was two-party system with a common sense of purpose.
That's what we thought.
Yeah, that's what we thought, yeah. And what happens now is that the one or two individuals have been able to be so strong, and in this case, the former president, that manipulates that power. Mm-hmm. But we had it here too, you know. It's been here in the Virgin Islands too, you know. You could talk about Aubrey.
Yeah.
You could talk about Aubrey.
Yeah.
You could talk about Cyril.
Yeah.
You could talk about Cyril. Look, Cyril, the late governor, he represented the ICM party.
Mm-hmm.
And what he said, go.
But I a bunch of rebel Democrats. Was that right, Red Ronnie? That's all it was. ICM is rebel Democrats. That's all it was.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that the party was dealt on an individual basis, and that's what's happening here now with the Republicans.
Mm-hmm. But you bring up an excellent point from a historical standpoint by linking the Virgin Islands, because even within the Democratic Party back in the day, and of course, you know, I was an infant then, so I'm getting this from those who were in the inner sanctums of the politics. Remember, within the Democratic Party, you had Donkey Democrat and Unity Democrat and all kind of things. So you had internal issues, intra political issues as well.
And that's what happened now.
Yeah.
That's what happened now.
But I think the issue now in America, though, Rocky, and this is something I want all of us to weigh in on, it is the extremism, right, that is impacting good governance. And that is always a concern. I know that, you know, the America is a polarized country, but if you get away from the tenets, right, of how you're supposed to govern, Ronnie Russell, let me start with you, then this is Charles Manson. This is Helter Skelter all over the place, Ronnie. This is crazy.
Yeah, Neville. They want dictatorship. Okay.
Yep. Wow.
No, that's it.
Wow.
We could call it what it is.
Hey, Ducks, and Rocky, I don't like the matter-of-factism with Ronnie just now.
That's why I put the question out there.
Check this out. He clear his throat first, right? He clear his throat. He clear his throat as they never, they want dictatorship, man. And that's what it is. Yeah. That is the truth. You're right for Joe. Yeah. Some of them like the idea that we need absolute power and absolute leaders.
Yes.
You're right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And all Republicans don't follow that, but they don't have a choice, because Trump, whether you like it or not, he is a very strong leader.
Mm-hmm.
He could convince people to go his way.
But I don't know about that, Ronnie. I'm starting to believe that there are little cracks in that where people are realizing, look, no, we really might have to deviate from this. I don't know. And here's a classic example. Let's look at the state of Nebraska, which the Virgin Islands have in common with them. White Ducks call?
A unicameral legislature.
A unicameral legislature. One house, one chamber, right? But with their electoral votes, they set it up. They are like Maine, where the electoral votes are based on some state and one in a district, right? And unlike the other 48 states where it's winner take all. And Trump, realizing that Nebraska is a red state for the most part, and they have one of their electoral votes that comes from the largest district, which is in Omaha, he tried something last week. And surprisingly, Ronnie, with 33 Republicans, 16 Democrats and one independent Democrat, they rejected. That vote was 36-8 for the 44 members. You would think that if he had this kind of control, are we going for a break now? With the 33 Republicans in there, this would have been a win-win. But Nebraska said, no, sir. We ain't touching this thing. So.
And you know what that is?
That might be the first line of defense where people say, well, you know about that. So we'll take a break. We'll pick up the discussion right there. Table Talk in Effect. Be back right after this.
Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix, Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix, Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
Weekday mornings are a juggle, sometimes even a struggle. Morning Edition from NPR News eases you into your day and keeps you company through the chaos of a busy morning. Hear interviews that give you context on the day's biggest stories, along with reporting and updates on the latest breaking news. Stay on top of the world with Morning Edition every weekday.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
Race is complicated. On Code Switch, we don't dumb it down for you.
And on Life Kit, we have advice on everything from money to mental health.
It's Code Switch and Life Kit from NPR.
Saturdays at 2 p.m. on WTJX FM.
Human beings have been making music for tens of thousands of years. It brings us together. It has the power to communicate emotions and ideas. It's a profound part of the human experience. Hear the stories behind the music you love and new music you might fall in love with. I'm Raina Duras. Join me for in-depth interviews with artists who are continuing that musical history on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1. Get informed with Analyze This as former Senator Neville James features Virgin Islands newsmakers from around the territory and beyond. Neville dives deep into politics, art, culture, history, and sports. Analyze This, weekdays from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on WTJX 93.1.
And we're back here at Analyze This, and we got Donald Duck School, Rocky Labor, and Ronnie Russell joining me for the table talk. And we were talking about a situation that took place in Nebraska last week, right? Where they said Nebraska legislators buck Trump by blocking electoral vote change for now, right? And that means they could come back up again. But last week, Wednesday, right, Nebraska legislators blocked a late effort to change how the state allocates its electoral college votes, despite public pressure from former President Donald Trump to shift to a winner-take-all system that would likely benefit him in the fall. The measure fell short 8-36 in a procedural vote. Now, that's a whitewashing. That's over 4-1. Right? While it's possible supporters could take another stab, and that might actually happen maybe today or tomorrow, at advancing the proposal, there remain serious hurdles as the legislative session draws to a close, and it's unclear whether the proposal has enough support to get across the line and become law. Nebraska currently doles out 3 of its 5 electoral votes to the presidential candidate who wins each of its 3 congressional districts. So they got 3 congressional districts in Nebraska, which means that they have 3 congressmen or women representing the state. In practice, that puts the competitive second district in the Omaha area in play, even though Republicans typically win the statewide vote easily. Wednesday night's failed attempt to change the law to award all the state's electoral votes to the statewide winner leaves the fate of the proposal in doubt with a few days left in the legislative session. So, Ducks, I'm going to you and then Rocky. The level of desperation now is such that presidential candidates want states, right, to now shift a structure that has been in place for, as we just said, for donkey years, right? Because the race is so tight that they're looking for every electoral college vote they could get. This is the level of desperation we're dealing with. And one of the Democratic senators from Nebraska says, so what are you going to do now? When you have a Democratic majority, what are we going to do? Change it back to how it was? And this is why I refer to the term as a poppy show, a pistacle, you know, a circus, because they're getting away from governance and focusing way too much on the process and the politics and social media, Ducks. It's not good, man. It's not good.
Listen, gentlemen, an audience. We are familiar with the disease called cancer, correct?
Yes, yes. Oh, yes.
And then cancer, as they use the term, metastasize, right?
Yes, sir.
And when it metastasizes, it leaves the area of its development and spreads throughout. That is what's happening in America right now, Neville.
In particular with our politics. Yes.
In our politics in America, is that the cancer, and I don't know if I get in trouble for this, the cancer of Donald Trump, right?
Let me use extremism and don't call a name for extremism.
Extremism.
Yeah.
has spread throughout, and that is where the problem is. So every place, they can't win through the electoral process. They can't win through the popular vote. So they're going to utilize every venue that they have to try to get power and control power and put their policies in place. It's just like the former president. He don't have the facts on his side, so what does he do? He delay, he delay, he delay, he delay, he delay. And that's the strategy that the party is using and the presumptive nominee is using. That is problem in America.
Rocky, as our ranking member, and you've served over some tumultuous legislatures, very controversial issues in 95. I believe 95 was when we had the casino, right? The resort, the casino resort.
Oh, yeah.
And Control Act, and that became a native naturalized thing, right?
Yes, sir. You know, I don't think nothing more controversial than that.
You know that, and you know, I'm a historian like you guys, so I can remember these things. And then, in 2001 and 2002, we were dealing with 911, right, and the ramifications and all that stuff, right?
Right. Well, a lot of fun.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Just remember, in 911, we were just about to receive an increase in the gasoline excise tax.
Yeah.
Yep. 911 hit.
Yeah, man.
Yep.
Yeah. I do a lot of work with Ways and Means Committee and all that stuff,
man.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this type of thing that we seen in America now. I mean, everything is cyclical. Don't get me wrong. It ain't gonna last forever, but the question is, what kind of damage is gonna be done by the time things level out?
Absolutely.
Rocky.
So, yes. So listen, I see. It's all an educational process that has to take place. You know, the question is how long it's going to take to get to the point where our people understand what really at stake. I don't know because we have a different generation, guys. We have a generation of the now. They're not looking at what can happen and if you do X, Y, Z, it would create something else. No. They want things to happen right away. And when you want that to happen, you will do what's necessary. And nothing else doesn't matter. And so we are faced with different schools of thought. And for some reason or the other, it hasn't been able to mix the old and the new. And so we have the generation now versus generation of yesteryear. No, it's true. And the, what we did before that made things possible and develop a base for what they experience today, that's not going to happen no more. You know, because we're not looking at the generation now is not looking up the road. And when your time comes, then that's yours. But right now, this is for us. And the mentality of people, there's no, you know what the answer is? There's no love for mankind no more. The man has diminished.
Well, I think that's a better term. That's a better term, Rocky. There's a diminished love for mankind. Yeah. It ain't totally gone, but it's diminished. Really. Yeah.
Yeah, it's diminished to a point where it's hey, you know, what I could get is good for me, and if I can't get it, later for you. I mean, that's how I look at it.
I wanted to bring Ronnie back in because Ronnie spoke about the one dictatorship. But Ronnie, while some of them definitely want that, and you got the Marjorie Taylor Greens, who worship the ground that Donald Trump walked on, and Doug Cole is absolutely right in that regard. But Ronnie, you can't ignore the racism and the misogyny, Ronnie. There are those who believe that people of color are much more powerful than they should be, and they believe that women got too much control. And that's the reason why they're doing the things that they're doing, Ronnie. And it's crazy. It's wrong.
Well, Neville, you know,
Arizona is a classic example of that misogyny thing going on there. Classic.
That's right.
Yeah.
Classic. But they also believe that, you know, the rapture would happen with the eclipse and some of them was to go to heaven. Okay. So.
Hey, Ducks. Ducks are Rocky. Rani there in full flight this morning. My son go there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, Rani, I want to make sure I get this clear, right?
Yes.
A lot of them were hoping that Monday something would have happened because of the eclipse.
Yes.
To get us back to where they could be in the power position.
Yes.
And apparently the clips come and gone and nothing ain't changed. They understand that that's just a thing of nature. They got nothing to do with us as human beings and the ground.
And we have to marginalize that segment of the extreme population.
Yes, sir.
And the two ways to marginalize them. Education, it begins with serious education. That's trying, why DeSantis is doing what he's doing.
But they're trying to cut that off. They know what they're doing, Rani. People of color and women are educated at levels that they can manipulate and control them. That's what's going on.
Right. And then we have to have people of like minds congregating and getting numbers on our side.
Mm-hmm.
You see, numbers make a difference. And education and numbers, and how you marginalize them, you use the social media, you use the internet, you use every means you can to marginalize those people that are extremists. And I think we could do it, Neville. And I think Biden, they're on track to doing it.
But I believe Republicans are, to Biden, they are like Midas, right? Biden like Midas, right? The gift that keeps on giving. Everything that he touch turns to gold. He was struggling in Arizona, no? Right?
Yes.
Now all of a sudden, Rani, Ducks, and Rocky, Biden strong in Arizona overnight, courtesy of the Supreme Court. One lick kill dick. Right?
Exactly. And what's going to happen is, you know, the voice of reason, like what Lauren Berry used to say, the voice of reason should and I hope wins out.
Rocky laughs. And Rocky saw 14 years with Lauren Berry and Rocky no. Rocky laughs.
Yeah, you know, the truth
I
is,
I don't want to go down the road.
Yeah. No. And ducks. You've been there with Lorraine Berry for a lot of years as a member of central staff and 4 years as a senator. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So, yeah. Yes. I know the great senator.
Yeah, man.
I just want to add this. What MAGA means, I think you, Neville, and Rani have just defined MAGA. Make America great again. And when they determine that...
By their definition.
Woman ain't had no power.
Yes, sir.
People of color ain't had no power.
Yes, sir.
Those are the guys who they're marginalizing now.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what makes America great again, in my concept.
That's what it means.
That's what it means.
Let we take it back to how it used to be as it relates to control.
Yes, and see what happens in Arizona, how far back they gone.
But that's why. But I got a joke for you. I got a joke for you, and I know Rocky you're gonna like this one. I had on Dr. Ann Treasure yesterday, because she's an OBGYN, right? So this topic is near and dear to her. So and you know she loved the politics though. So she was a perfect guest to have on with Dwayne Henry, and she asked me this question. During the break and text message, and then she brought it up on the air. She said, Neville, you really believe, could this be that they're really trying to get rid of Trump and they're tired of Ari? Because Rocky, it don't make no sense. When you stop to think of this, Rocky, this issue, what they did in Arizona, gonna only bring out more Democrats and more women to vote. come November.
Right.
And when we look at the referendums that took place in those red states, Kansas, Kentucky, and Ohio, and all of them get smashed. Not 50.5 to 49.5 or 52 to 48. This is 55 to 45 minimum with all these referendums against abortion. And to do this in Arizona, right, which is not only a purple state, but they also have a lot of immigrants. Rocky, you want to know if a lot of them saying, look, man, we can't deal with this extremism no more. Because this don't make no sense politically to me.
Yeah. Well, in other words, they're scrambling.
Or they are afraid of the extremism, even though they support the extremists.
they remind me of the scientists. They are them got a bunch of mouth, but they ain't on. Put them out where they put the money where the mouth is.
But
the scientists had to for Trump.
Yeah.
And guess what? He turned around and endorsed it after Trump told him everything is book.
They sanctimonious.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't understand how these people operate.
But it goes back to that old story, and I know all I know about it. They always ask the question, who gonna bail the cat?
Yes.
And a lot of them got a lot of mouth.
Trump made all of them cold.
But I here is one thing that I do want to say as we crystallize this discussion. We are very fortunate that we live in the Virgin Islands, you know, gentlemen.
Uh-huh.
Because that type of behavior don't exist here. And that is because the demographics, Ronnie Russell, are flipped, right?
Yes.
And we need to look at our situation. That's why we need to come together as a people and take advantage of opportunities when they present itself. Specifically, when we have a president who is partial or has a soft spot for the Virgin Islands, we need to take full advantage of this, Ronnie, because we don't know when this is going to happen again. This is a generational thing we're dealing with here.
Yes, the reality is that we haven't lost that generation that hold education high in reverence of the human condition. The human being thirsts for education. We like to learn.
Mm-hmm.
We like to see new things. And we haven't lost that generation in the Virgin Islands so that, you know, we still...
But we can't assume it's going to be here forever, though.
No, I it's not here forever because the young people... that they're in jail, a lot of the young black men they're in jail, I representing them and women, they're not educated. They ain't finished high school and they're getting in trouble because they need money and they can't get a job,
mm-hmm.
so they do crime.
And they're frustrated and don't have the ability to rationalize because of that educational deficiency.
Yes.
So we got to
protect and really go hard with education, because the misinformation and the internet.
Yes.
The internet is filled with a lot of misinformation.
When we come back, one of my callers or two of my callers send me some text messages. I want to bring them up when we come back up. We'll be back right after this.
PBS NewsHour has a rich legacy of in-depth reporting and strong storytelling.
Only four people have sat in that chair before us, and the enormity of this moment is not lost on me. People turn to us because they know they can hear from trusted sources of information and news.
That won't change a bit, even as the faces behind the desk change.
Good evening. I'm Jeff Bennett.
And I'm Amna Nawaz.
Weekdays at 7 p.m. on WTJX TV, Channel 12.
On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we are not afraid to stand up to the high and mighty like Jeff Bezos.
He had that big cowboy hat on. He looked like a shrink ray had hit Garth Brooks.
I'm Peter Sagal. Join me as we speak truth to power, at least until power agrees to buy us out, on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. I wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday. In these divided times, what could be more important than a conversation? Conversation with someone we don't know, someone we think we know, someone with whom we disagree or think we do. Join us as we ask questions of politicians, ranchers, parents, athletes, activists, gardeners, writers, and lots more. Then listen along with you.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we're back here, Analysis, having a late week edition for the second week in a row of Table Talk. We typically do this on Mondays, but around this time of the year with Easter break and Carnival and all that stuff, we're later down in the week. So I want to give a shout out. Rocky Leibold, good morning. Glad to have you on. Morning, Rocky.
Morning, Mr. President.
Morning, Donald Duck School, the handle out of St. Thomas. Morning again, how are you?
Morning, Mr. President. I'm doing well.
Good. And morning, Ronnie Russell. Originally out of Frederickstead, West End, but then Kenai Ridge. Manny, how are you?
He gone.
Ronnie gone? Okay. Check this out, gentlemen. Earlier, you know, remember what I was teasing myself about learning a big word this morning, right? Intersectionality, right? So, Rufus Turnbull was teasing me about going through that same situation before. Remember when we were dealing with COVID? And docs, they were looking at the word efficacy. Remember that, right? They were talking about the efficacy, right? The ability to reproduce the variant, right? That's the rest, the mutation, right? The mutation of the virus, right? And there's another award. Your people, Mr. Hunt, was a Hunt Caesar. You are not doctor. Were Dr. Hunt, right? Her father was a doctor, right? Ty Camille Hunt Caesar.
Yeah, her father is a nephrologist.
Yeah, and so she was on my show one day, and she used the word efficacious, right? And I remember I was trying to pronounce the word correctly. You know, these big words are kind of, you know, backed me up a little bit. So he had me. He sent me a text before Stumble. He said the MAGA Republicans are efficacious in fake news and distractions. So they're using, we got the audience now using big words, right? To let us know that they're right in lockstep with us. So while we learning words like intersectionality and potpourri and them big thing there that we use in this morning, Iraqi labor, the audience, they're right there with us. I just want to let you know that. Secondly,
a couple people who listen to the program religiously, they say they like how we utilize the one of them is British, said the Queen's English.
The Queen's English, yeah, man.
And then we have the ability to come back to our different local...
The local twang.
So they love that.
No, that's what we do here. But check this out. Another one of the listeners, and I like this one. They hear what it says. It said, good morning. You were enjoying the conversation so much that you missed two of her historic family connections she mentioned, which is Miss Tynetta McIntosh. J. Antonio Jarvis was her grandmother's brother. And municipal judge Cyril Michael was her grandfather. Right? So here's the term that we don't use. Miss Tynetta McIntosh come from good stock, Rocky. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She come from good stock, right? she were destined to have high impact. And again, why is that? Because the names that we talk about just now, J. Antonio Jarvis and Cyril Michael, education, Rocky Leibold. Everything that we are talking about as it relates to some of our deficiencies and what we're going through, it all cycles back to the educated or the need for more education in particular areas, Rocky, and then Ducks.
Yes, definitely. Somehow or other, Neville and Ducks, we haven't emphasized enough on education. And part of the problem is the structure we have. You know what I find different is that I was speaking to one of my English teachers over the weekend. And when I came from St. John to St. Thomas, when I went to St. Thomas to Chagamay High School, I had an English teacher. Her name was Mary Harley. And she had us, you have like a course that you take. They used to call it CLEP, right? So they give you a course to see where you are in terms of English and et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And just about every one of us, we were placed to read different books because the grammatical structure that we came with was surpassed what they were even teaching in that course. And I say that to say that the type of instruction determines how well you do and the things and how far you go. Because of that instruction, I had a teacher named Dari Jadan. She was an environmental specialist, and her stories was you always have to write something, write it down, write a paragraph, just to get you in the habit of writing. Now, today, we look at that writing as a way to teach English to our students, but I don't believe that's the best way because a lot of our students don't read as much. Now, with the internet now, I'm sure they read much more because the internet is so intriguing in terms of you go on for one subject and next thing you know, something pop up and you end up reading. By the time you get back to your subject, you've been on there at 2-3 hours. I'm saying so. But we have to provide the structure of the language for our young people to make it, and then that's the vehicle. It helps me in foreign language because I know the structure of English. Because we get it from diagramming the whole subject matter, subject, predicate, object, all those things, them. And language is like that. And from there, the sky's the limit. Because once you read, you are able to achieve so much more. Like they say, reading is fundamental. It's more than that. Reading allows you to determine your destiny in many instances. So that's what I think we do. We just need to emphasize that some more. And our children will be mustered up. I mean, some of them do extremely well with what we have, But I believe we miss a whole lot of them because some of us need an extra touch. We need a little extra, as they call, oomph to go forward.
But I'm glad you went there. And Ducks, it's like an algebra problem. And ultimately, it comes down to the foundational areas of math, right? Addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. Same thing with the English language, right? You need that subject-verb agreement, man. You know what I'm saying? And folks are so obsessed with getting in this world of specialization that they don't really have the appreciation for the foundational aspects of how we communicate with each other and the humanities. And that's something that I will always push here. And that's like my passion for the library. These are these little things that we tend to take for granted. That's the fabric that we need, the fiber that we need to reinstill in our community to get a community to have a greater appreciation for where we were, where we are, and where we want to be.
That is true. And Neville, I want to put this in here with former President Donald Trump. And one of the things that he proclaimed was he loved the uneducated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But check this out. Before you say another word, could you imagine that these are statements that would automatically disqualify people from wanting to run for public office 15, 20, 30 years ago? That moral decay that was mentioned earlier is real, because there's no penalty for making them kind of statements no more down Duck School. That's craziness, man.
No, absolutely not. But you see, that the gentleman understood that in the heartlands and the backlands of America, a lot of the people who say they were left out of, you know, all the economic growth, they're basically saying Trump told them, I am your savior, man. You don't have to be educated. I will do it for you.
Just believe me, man. Believe me blindly.
Yes, and one of my teachers tell me, if you allow somebody to think for you, they're going to think for you to their advantage, not your advantage. Okay?
Yeah.
And this is what he did. He tapped into that segment of the American population, Neville and Rocky. I love the uneducated. I'm appreciated. I appreciate you guys. And I am your savior. Come along with me. And as we talk about an education and the foundation, a lot of people in America are not truly educated to the principles of democracy, Neville and Rocky, and how the structure of a Republican form of government is operating and how it affects your life. A lot of people say, I don't like politics, but I don't do politics, but politics gonna do you.
Mm-hmm. A man tell me so, no. I was 28 years old, and we had a 2-week seminar for those of us who were working in accounting in various agencies in government, and the instructor was from Africa. At the time I was 28, I wasn't really big into politics, and I tell Lisa, I say, I ain't really into that right now. I don't really do politics. And he said, if you don't do politics, politics is gonna do you. African man told me that, man. Yeah, man, I remember that vividly. Yeah. Wow.
And a lot of the people don't understand their role in a democracy. They want to be led. And the former president found that, and he became the leader. They want to be led. They don't want to think for themselves. They don't want to rationalize. They don't want to do the things that will uplift them. Somebody else is going to do it for them. And that is where it is, the uneducated that Mr. Trump said. That's who he loved. And never look at the population that gravitate to him. Look at it. Analyze it.
But Rocky, that flies in the face of some of the same arguments that they make, where the same people who want to follow him blindly are the same ones who are telling you, well, I didn't get an education, so I want to make sure that my son and daughter, they get educated. So basically, you're in practicing what you're preaching. You follow what I'm saying? You're telling us you want your children and them to be educated, but you accepting the fact that you're going to listen to somebody blindly like that, it don't make any sense.
Yeah, but Neville, you know, you could say that, but one of the issues is that they must have a sense of purpose. They must have a drive, a goal, a mission. And a lot of these people are missionless. They're just existing. When you're just existing, anything goes. Anything goes, it doesn't matter. You know, and so what happens is when you have education, then you begin to think. You begin to realize that, hey, I can do more. I can do this. I can do that. And that's what education develops within the human being. You know, the thing is, people go to school and they think, oh, I got a master's degree and doctor's degree. Yeah, all of that is fine. But you know, all it does, it says that you have some kind of a training, et cetera, in your lifetime. But the real test is, what do you do with that? What do you do with that type of training? So how does that make you go forward in life? And that type of training is only to begin the process, because not everything you saw in school is going to happen in real life. So it gives you to think. Did it, you know, the thinking skills is the problem we're facing, you know. We're facing a lot of that. And that comes through a learning process. And that's how I see it.
Well, you know, I'm glad that we had this conversation today. We spoke about the current perspective of the leader of the free, the leading country in the free world, which is America. We gotta be candid sometimes. I am a proud Virgin Islander, and I like the fact that we are an American jurisdiction. I've made that clear, right? We have benefited from this relationship. It's been over 100 years, and as history would have it. Doc Skoll, we mention this all the time. It would have been over 160 years if Lincoln and them had their way, because they were looking at the Virgin Islands from the 1860s, yeah. Right? And that free port that you like to reference all the time right there in St. Thomas Harbor, that was of value. And yeah. Our biggest issue here, Rocky Leibold and Docs, is we don't value ourselves and what we have as much as we should. And the hope going forward is that we do, because time waits for no one. Right now, we got our senators and the governor. They were at Sea Trade. And remember, we were once the number one cruise ship destination in the Caribbean. That's no longer the case, right?
No.
And these are the little things that we need to, you know, keep an eye on, because there's no reason for us to not be a regional leader, given our history with respect to the impact that we've had, if not regionally, globally. And hemispherically, I mean, and at the end of the day, you know, I'll boil back down to education. And once we make that commitment, I think we're gonna be okay. And we have the stick-to-itiveness after we make that commitment. Rocky Leibold and Doc Skoll, Ronnie Russell, thank you very much for joining me. Great table talk this morning. I'm looking forward to talking with you guys next week. I'll let you know what day it is. Okay.
All right, big brother. Give thanks, okay. Man. Have a nice day.
I'll as well. Dry like a chip.
Like you're full of water.
No, it come clear. It clear up over here today. It clear up.
Yeah, but you have plants them laughing.
Oh yeah. Green, very green. Be good and be safe. And thank you very much, Tynetta McIntosh, for joining us. Thank you, Nicole Parsons, for hooking me up with that connection as well. And don't forget Sphinx Virtual, so St. John tomorrow, St. Thomas on Saturday. Be good and be safe. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
Music can be an incredibly personal experience. A song can inspire you, it can comfort you, it can make you feel understood, it can even take you back to a specific moment in your life. And it all begins with the artist. Join me, Raina Duras, as I get personal through in-depth interviews with your favorite musicians and find out where those songs come from on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX-FM 93.1.
I'm Aisha Roscoe, host of Weekend Edition Sunday, where we're not just interested in what's going on in the world, but why it's happening and how. Details are important. So are different points of view. We're dedicated to bringing you the stories behind the big events and the small ones, too. Join us every Sunday morning for Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Weekend Edition, Sundays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.